Hi, this is Jeff Gardner, producer for Mary's Touch. If you enjoy the stories that you hear on this program, now you can get all of them from the first year in Stories from Mary's Touch. Come to www.marystouch.org, scroll down the right-hand side, and click on the button Stories from Mary's Touch. These stories are told with an art that does not come purely from human authorship, says Father Kevin Ray. Order your copy today, Stories from Mary's Touch.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Sally Robb.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you stories of Mary's love. This week, we have a special Mary's Touch show just for you. You'll hear from international speaker and minister Dave Reaver. Dave Reaver grew up in a loving, committed family in South Texas. The last thing he wanted to do was go to war. Drafted and sent off to Vietnam, David promised his young bride that he would be home in no time and without a scar on him. 8 months into his tour of duty in Vietnam, Dave was burned beyond recognition. Returning home to a wife in an uncertain future, Dave would transform his experience into a powerful message of hope and the love that Christ has for all of us.
Hi, I'm Dave Reaver, and I'm very excited about being able to contact you today through a very wonderful medium, and I do believe this will be an opportunity of a lifetime. For all of you who are serving, number one, we want to say thank you. Because of you, we don't have hand grenades rolling down our church aisles or Al-Qaeda truck bombs in our parking lots. Because of you, we sleep really good at night. Because of you, my grandchildren don't go to school afraid. I thank you. America thanks you. As I said, my name is Dave Reaver. If you don't know who I am, I'm going to introduce myself in the story. I'm a wounded warrior, but not in the war on terror. Not that war isn't terror wherever it's fought. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm 63 years old. Now, I'm not over the hill, and I tell everybody I am the hill. I'm trying to lose weight, but one thing you never lose are memories. Memories are one of those things that are good and bad at the same time. While sometimes you remember the past, it's good because you don't want to forget it, but you don't want to remember it to a pain. On July the 26th, and I hate to say the year for you young warriors, 1969, I know you think that's right after the War of 1812, I fought my battles. I was in the U.S. Navy, Brownwater, Black Beret. That's the Special Forces of the Navy, and I was attached to SEAL Team 1. And as a Brownwater Black Beret, my job was to permanently, for our time of duty there, be constantly in touch with the Navy SEALs to get them in and out safely during their insertions and retractions. Very dangerous, because at that point of retraction, the enemy has the back of our people to them, and that's when most of us got hurt and killed. On July 26, 1969, I faced a moment in time that would leave me with scars for the rest of my life. And they're terrible scars. Scars that would almost alter the relationship with my little teenage wife. It did alter it, but it didn't alter it for the worst, which I expected it would. The grenade explosion blew my face off, blew my fingers off, ripped open my chest, left me with almost half my skin gone, blind in an eye, deaf in an ear. And a handsome young prince, that little teenager, kissed goodbye at Dallas Love Field when I left for Vietnam, would not receive home the same man she married. See, life's not fair. Here's the facts. Everybody gets hurt. That's not the question. The question in life is, when you get hurt, how are you going to deal with it? I remember when I kissed her goodbye. I married her. She was only 18. I was 16 when I asked her to marry me, and she slapped me. She was only 13. She said, "I don't want to get married, I'm too young." But, you know, when I kissed her goodbye, she was 18. And at that point, I remember to this moment, even the moment you hear this, the salt taste of her lips when I kissed her goodbye where tears had stained her face. As I walked away to go to war, she said to me, "Davy, are you coming back?" What was I supposed to say at that point? This was already about the seventh year of the war, and there were 50,000 dead young Americans. 50,000 dead in 7 years. What do I say there? What do I say? "Oh, I'll be back." I don't think that was the right answer. But I looked at her and said, "I'll be back without a scar." Now, why I said that, I don't know. Maybe it was God's way of just preparing me to think about the fact that I could come back disfigured and maimed, and according to the Veterans Administration, a 100% totally disabled Vietnam veteran. I kissed her goodbye. Next time she would see me, I would never again look like the man she married. I entered the Navy because, don't be offended if you're in the Army, I didn't want to go in the Army. I figured, hey, they'll hurt me, I'll join the Navy where I'll be safe, because you see, I'm not the hero type. When I was in the ninth grade, I played football as a freshman. I played one down. It hurt so much I quit and joined the band and watched other kids get hurt. See, I'm not that hero stuff. I'm allergic to pain. It breaks me out in tears. I was with a very heroic group. I was with a most wonderful group of men that were committed to a purpose. Even when the nation was struggling with what that purpose was, we had a clear-cut vision of what we were to do. And I guess that leads me to tell you that when you get hurt and you're left with scars, pray to God that those scars or that pain has something to do with purpose. Because pain without purpose is just added pain. That's when scars go from the outside to the inside. And some of you may have some of those inside pains. It could be that you go to war or have gone to war and came back without a scar on the outside, but you came back to a marriage that was in total default. You came back to children that didn't recognize the dad that left. You came back so scarred by war on the inside, it's hurting, and it's hurting so deeply that you wonder if it's a scar or an open wound. Are you going to hemorrhage to death emotionally, spiritually, like you could physically? It's one of those things you have to ask yourself, where are you now, and for what purpose has all your suffering or potential suffering, what purpose does it have in your future? I'll get to that in just a minute. But on July the 26th, 1969, my face was blown off. Now, my hair went with it, and my ear went with it, and I have hair again, but I had to buy it, so I've chased it across many a windy parking lot on windy days, I'll tell you. And my ear being artificial, it's fallen off at the most inopportune times. I was speaking for a religious event with Dr. Billy Graham many years ago, and every time I would stand and speak publicly, I always worried about my ear, because on one night in Jamaica, it fell off while I was speaking. I didn't know it fell off. Everybody's sucking air like a Hoover, covering their mouth, pointing at me, wide-eyed, and I didn't know what was wrong. I looked over, and there's my ear laying on my shoulder. Oh, it's a chance of a lifetime. First of all, I had to tell them, you know, "Oh, no, I'm okay." But if I had told them it was a phony ear, they probably would have thought I was a phony preacher. And I didn't want to get stoned in Jamaica. Everybody goes to Jamaica, get stoned. So what do? I pick up my ear, I stick it back on, and I say, "My ear fell off." Well, then they thought it was a miracle, and they all got saved. Hallelujah. What am I supposed to do? You know, sometimes scars can be embarrassing. Scars can be funny. It's all in how you look at it. I could be sitting in a bar somewhere, popping tops, sucking suds, shooting drugs, beat my wife, molest my kids, and blame it all on the war. I could blame it all on the scars. Well, I made a choice, just like you have to make a choice. Are you going to believe that there's a higher power, a God who really truly does love you? Or are you going to turn to everything in the book to try to fill that God-shaped vacuum deep in your soul? I believe only God can fill that vacuum. And I never turned my back on Him. I made that decision that I would make my faith in God through Christ. I decided, and that decision has followed me every day of my life. Well, I came home and I was put in the Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. I was there for a year and 2 months. That explosion of that grenade in Vietnam was white phosphorus. It blew right next to my head and blew off almost half my skin, but it took my face down the tubes. And when that little teenage girl was waiting in line to come in and see me, she watched another woman go in to see her husband who was in the bed next to mine. He was 100% third degree, guaranteed to die, would not and could not live. And unbelievably, she threw her wedding ring on the bed and walked out. The next woman in was just a teenage girl. Her name's Brenda, and it was my wife. Is she going to throw her ring on the bed and walk out? She stepped up to my bed, read the chart on my bed, the tag on my arm, and when she was certain I was me, she bent down and kissed what was left of my face. She looked me in my good eye, and she said, "I just want you to know I love you. Welcome home, Davy." And when she says, "Welcome home," hey, 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 I said, "Baby, I'm sorry, I can't look good for you." She said, "Aw, Davy, you never were good looking anyhow." Being good looking is not what it's all about. What is it all about then? It's about resiliency. It's bouncing back. When everybody writes you off, you're writing yourself in. You will not be denied your destiny. My destiny now, I travel throughout the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Afghanistan, Iraq. Wherever I go, I come across troops just like you. And it is always my joy to say, Jesus loves you, and so do I. And God bless you, and God bless the America you're defending. Thank you for your time. I'm Dave Reaver, and I approve of this message.
Oh, I approve of that message too, Dave. My gosh. You do make a choice every day. Every one of us does.
Yeah.
Some is not as hard as others. And as Dave said, it's not when, but how. How are we going to choose to live our lives? And, you know,
exactly.
that takes us from feeling sorry for ourselves, being depressed. Although, I mean, some of that's real, I know. But, gosh, Dave, you really stepped up to the plate, so to speak, and became a hero. Although that wasn't, you didn't think that was your destiny, but look what it's brought you. And so, Sally, what are your first thoughts?
Well, of course, I'm, you know, Dave is like a phosphorus bomb for me. I'm just blown away by the power of...
That's a great line. I gotta hand that one to you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a good line.
Thank you so much. Thank you so. No, it's so fantastic because you know you're so absolutely right. The fact of the matter is not is suffering going to happen for us, but how do we meet that suffering when it happens? And that's where Jesus comes in. Because if we're left to ourselves, then we're left to this smallness of our own self. And we crumble in the face of that. We have no choice but to crumble. We can't stand in front of that. But if we let the Beloved stand with us, then we can stand in front of anything. And He can be our support, our strength, our courage, the beauty to transform everything that comes into something that makes us more beautiful, more radiant, more shining with His reflected glory. That's what He has for us, so that every pain, every suffering that comes ends up making us more beautiful witness to His transforming love. And that's the truth of it.
So let's get Dave in on
Dave.
This.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Dave with us on the phone. And Dave, welcome to Mary's Touch. This is Sherry Lamonte sitting across from Sally Robb. And thank you. You are my hero. You are my hero. And one of the questions I have is, when did you realize that you have to have, if you have pain, you have to have pain with purpose?
Well, I think it goes back to my childhood. My mother was an invalid, And from the time of my birth until her death, I never knew her to be well a single day of her life. She had a combination of just serious illnesses, from brittle bone disease to tumors on the brain, strokes. It was horrible. It was a terrible life. And yet, through all of that, never once did I ever hear her say, "Why me, God?" And I've often told people, don't ask why me, God. What if he answered you? I'm sorry, George, or just something about you I don't like. I mean, what's he going to say to it? I never did ask the question, why me, God, because I never saw it come from my mother. So I saw that her pain somewhere had purpose. Now I'm looking back, and she's been dead for many, many years. I look back and I think, maybe the purpose in life, she probably didn't even know this purpose, among others that she may have known. I doubt she would have ever realized that her purpose in life included setting an example before me in the eyes of a knowledgeable living God who knows the future. And I saw she never blamed God. It transferred to me on the day of my injury. I didn't blame God. In fact, whenever I jumped into the water, my body was on fire with white phosphorus, which burns in water. I continued to burn in the water. And when I surfaced, I inhaled, and I sucked that fire right down to my bronchial tubes. And when I exhaled, a ball of fire came out of my mouth. And this, as God is my witness, I will not add or detract one word, although I doubt I can ever say it with a duplicate of the urgency I said it then. But I said, God, I still believe in you. And when I made that statement, three of the guys that were there who had nicknamed me, they called me Dudley Do-Right, one called me Dr. Doolittle, another called me Preacher Man. I'd call them Pervert Number One, Pervert Number Two, Pervert Number Three. And I fought over who was going to be Pervert Number One. And those guys, when I said, God, I still believe in you, one of them dropped to his knees and settled his peace with God right then and there. Wow. It was purpose.
Wow. Wow. You know what? And here's the thing. When your mother was suffering, by the way, you have some amazing women in your life. Your mother and your wife, Brenda, who came and kissed, as you said, what was left of your face and said, you never did look good, but I love you. Wow. That is stunning. But, you know, we never know what's going to happen tomorrow or 5 years from now. And I have my spiritual director is fantastic. He just said, you accept what God brings to you today, knowing that he loves you, and then do everything you can to receive it with the love that you know he's giving it. And just know that, you know, what's going to happen is a question for management, and we're just in sales.
Wow, that's true. Well said. There's a verse that comes to my mind from Paul's writings in Philippians, and he said, the things that happen to me, and things happen to us. Some people think, well, if I make the decision to follow Christ, I'll never have another bad day.
Yeah.
Jesus himself had some really tough days, even to the point of saying, Father, if you can, take this cup away from me.
Yeah.
But the thing that's so powerful of what Paul said, he said, the things that happen to me have fallen out, rather, that means have been exchanged for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the furtherance of the gospel. And I've often said, you know, if I'd never been injured, I would not have the access to do the things I'm doing. I just got emails today of my return to Iraq and Afghanistan. Everything's being settled. All the ITOs, they're called invitational travel orders. I'll be going in and working with the troops and have the opportunity of a lifetime to just encourage them. I would never have had that invitation if I hadn't been down the road I've been down. The purpose, sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes there's suffering, but when our confidence is in God, no matter what things happen to us, God's going to use them for his glory. And those things the devil intended for evil, God turns around and uses them for good. There's purpose in pain. And while I don't want it, I don't advocate it. I don't want to get hurt. Like I said, I'm no hero. But when pain comes, when difficulty comes, when tragedy comes, when one of our precious, most prized treasures, our national treasures, one of our warriors looks down, the leg's gone, I have good news for him. There's a purpose. When you know Christ, there's a purpose, and one day you will do and go and be beyond the man you would have been otherwise and do greater things for God because he turns tragedy into triumph.
Yes.
Yeah. Dave, I know you do special things for our warriors. Could you tell us a little bit about your mission and your place in Colorado?
Yes. We built a place called Eagles Summit where our wonderful warriors, our Eagles, come together. And it's a ranch high up in the mountains, about an hour and a half from Fort Carson. And the Sangre de Cristo, which means Blood of Christ Mountains, are right outside all of our windows. We can see 5 feet, so we're 14,000 feet tall. And there I bring our wounded warriors, and I train them in public speaking. I train them how to stand up and tell their story. It helps eliminate their post-traumatic stress disorder, while at the same time, they're telling a story to people that need to know what the price of freedom is. So it's a win-win. And they get 12 hours of college credit for going through our program, and we're accepted. Our credit's transferred to Hollywood, if you like. So we introduce them to higher education, train them in how to speak publicly, delivering their soul of post-traumatic stress disorder, and giving America a view of the price of freedom that we might never forget and forever defend the liberties we have. It's a hugely successful program, and the program there in Colorado has been so successful, it's booked for an estimated 5 years. So we're building, where I'm sitting right now, we're building out in the middle of the hill country of Texas, about an hour and a half from Brooke Army Medical Center, Fort Sam, Fort Hood, Fort Bliss, Fort Sill, even up in Oklahoma, can have access. And we're just down the road from the Center for the Intrepid. And we're bringing them in as soon as we open here in just another month or two. And we'll be going wide open, doing the same thing in Texas we do in Colorado.
How can people support you?
Oh, thank you. I bow. I thank you. God bless you. This is the biggest. I do not accept military or government grants, because I don't want any interference of any kind of government policies dictating what I can or cannot do. So we depend on people, and they can go to Reaver, R-O-E-V-E-R, foundation.com, reaverfoundation.com. And that name of my name is spelled oddly, so I hope people pick up on it, R-O-E-V like Victor, E-R, foundation.com. And those that are warriors that are listening, if you ever want information, go to simply WoundedWarriorsAlliance.com. WoundedWarriorsAlliance.com, all one string. And we reach out to our warriors all over this nation, and it's hugely successful.
Oh, that, yes, that, we will do that. We'll also post that on our website so people can support you and all the great work that you do, Dave, and for being here and sharing your story and reminding us that life isn't fair, but when you have pain with purpose, you become God's hero.
Yeah, and you know what, Dave, I'd like to say that though Jesus handed you something very, very dark in one hand, he handed you a mercy in the other hand that is so beautiful that just listening to your story and how you've let him move in your life, you make me love him more. And I want to thank you for that.
I love you, folks. You're so kind. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Dave. God bless you and all your work that you do. And we'll do another show, an update when you get the place in Texas open.
Amen. Thank you, and God bless you all.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Mary's Touch. You know, Sally and I travel the country and speak to thousands of people about the stories that you hear on this program. And we'd love to come and talk with you. For more information about having Sally or me come and speak at your parish or organization's next event, email us at radio@marystouch.org or call us at 800-682-1729 and be sure to leave a number where we can contact you. We'd love to spend some time talking with your group about the amazing stories you hear on Mary's Touch, how we find them, how we bring them to you, and the impact that they have on so many lives. Drop us an email or give us a call. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you, and let's get back to the show. Oh, my gosh.
This guy's unbelievable.
He is. I mean, with that sense of humor. And, you know, yeah. I have nothing wrong with me.
I know.
Looking at David, but I love when he said, you know, life is not fair. And people think that all the time. But look what he's done with his.
I know. With no skin, no hair, no ear. Yeah.
He runs across the parking lot to catch his head
hair,
of hair.
And his ear drops on his shoulder.
Wow.
It's fantastic. You know, it's so interesting because his whole notion of pain with purpose, Viktor Frankl, who went through Auschwitz and lost his entire family. Afterwards, he was practicing psychiatry in Vienna, and he had a doctor who came to him and had lost his wife. And he was 2 years before, and they had been very, very close. And he was just so depressed, he couldn't raise himself out of his depression. He was barely functional. And Frankl realized there was nothing he could do about his pain, and he couldn't bring his wife back. So he said to the man instead, he said, "What would it have been like for your wife if you had died?" And the man said, "It would have been absolutely anguishing for her." And Frankl responded, "Do you see that you have spared her that?" And all of a sudden, the doctor realized that his suffering was given this meaning, which was now his suffering meant that she was not having to suffer. And that was all he needed. He just needed a meaning for his pain. And then he was okay.
Sally, I think this is one of the best shows we've ever done.
Yeah.
And we are dedicating it to the Frontline Faith Project. And I'd like everybody who's listening to go to frontlinefaithproject.org and help support that. And I want to leave with Dave's own words as his head, I can see it bobbing up from the water and fire coming out of his mouth. And he says, "God, I still believe in you. God, I still believe in you."
Amen. Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.